Okay, so good morning, b'sha'a tova u'mitzlacha, we're on Masechet Beitza. So the first Mishnah starts from, we're going to see interesting idea in the first Mishnah with three machlokot here between Hillel and Shammai, and Rashi will mention in a moment, we'll read the Rashi, that the only connection that they've got is that all these three halachas machlokot are that Beit Shammai is more makil than Beit Hillel. Okay, that's why they're here. So if you're all wondering what are these three doing, the Beitza we understand, but the next two machlokot, Rashi pointed out. Okay, so Beitza should all be Yom Tov. So a chick, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Okay, Beit Shammai Omrim, Te'achel. Right, Beit Shammai says, go ahead and eat it. Hillel Omrim, Lo Te'achel, you can't eat it. Okay, so we see the first machloket here, Beit Hillel more machmir. Rashi says, Avia, Lo Te'achel, Bo Vayom. Not that you can never eat it, just you can't eat it on the day. Okay, so it's muktzah for the day itself on Yom Tov, but the day after Yom Tov you can eat it. Right, Beit Shammai Te'achel. Beit Hillel Omrim, Beit Shammai Omrim, Se'or B'Kazayit. So now we get a little bit sidetracked over here. What's the measure? We know that there's Seor and Chametz, right? That there's two separate Ishurim. Pesach Seor is the what do you call it? The leavening agent, right? What's the famous word today? What do you call it? Seor in English? Not yeast. It is dough, sourdough. Sourdough. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. So Seor b'kazayit. And v'chametz b'kakotevet. So Beit Shammai says, in order to be over on Pesach, you have to have for Seor, we more machmir a small measure of a kazait. But for chametz, it's a kakotevet, right? Rashi is a tamara, like a little tamar, date, which is bigger than a kazait. Well, omrim, zev is a kazait. Behilah says they're both, you're over on a kazait. So we see over here already that Behilah is more machmir again. Hashochet chayev off b'yom tov. Now, if you shech the chayev and an off, we discussed this before, in fact, we discussed it quite recently, that a chaya and an off, a wild animal, like for example a deer and a chicken, when you shech them, you've got to cover their blood. There's a mitzvah of kisui. You've got to have sand there and cover the blood. On a domestic animal, if you shech the cow, you don't do it. Okay? So it's only on the animal, on the wild animal and on a chicken, on a bird. So Beit Shammai Omrim Yachfor B'Dekav Yechaseh. If you shech it now on Yontif, then you can shech it on Yontif, which is Lare Ochel Nefesh. So you want to have chickens. Remember times of the Mishnah, they never had freezers. So they'd have all the chickens, you know, prepared before and stuck in the freezer. If you never shechted a chicken, by the time Yom Tov came around, it was already bad. So you have your chicken set aside. We'll see the Gemara come up in a second now, in a few minutes. When you've got a chicken there, she omitted la'achila, omitted la'gadol beitzim. People would have in their backyard some chickens they'd use for eggs, and other chickens would be set aside for shechting. So now you've got a chicken there you're meant to be shechting, and you shechted on Yom Tov. So Beit Shammai says, you've got to dig, you can take a spade, a deker. I think Rashi says, a deker, a filler belaz. And the last Rashi says, kli chafira bekarkas, like a spade. You can take your shovel and you can dig out some earth. And we know the problem, what's the problem with that is we know from Masechet Shabbos, boni, right? Remember, digging a hole is Yisur boni. He says, take it out, dig up the thing and cover it. You can't shecht. Unless you had the actual afar ready, set aside yesterday, you weren't going to dig up a hole. You had to have in the back garden a pile there of sand that was prepared already for that. However, umodim, right, Beit Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai, she'im shachat, if you did go ahead and shecht, okay, Rashi says, Rashi is going to tell us, this is when you've already got a spade stuck in the ground. You know, how do you say it in English? Like, in Hebrew it sounds much better. Na'utz bekarka. Is there a word for that in English? Like already ready dug in the ground, waiting there for you. In other words, you're not now taking the kli and beginning to dig. It's already in the ground. You've just got to maybe bring out the sand. We'll see it in the Gemara. So Hillel agrees there because there is this issue of kisui. And you're allowed to shecht because it's ochel nefesh, I suppose, for on a Yom Tov. We'll see what it means. The Rashi is in the Gemara. We'll see what it means. Because Efer Kira, Efer Kira is the ashes from the oven. Efer Kira Muchanu. So I imagine, and we'll see in the Gemara what it is, but I'm just postulating now that the idea of Efer Kira Muchanu is that everybody's got an amount of ash that's readily available which they can do kisui on. It's already taken for granted that there is it over there. So if you have shecht and you find that you haven't got it there, you might have in your mouth thought you're going to use that and you haven't got that, you can go and cover up with sand. Okay. That is the Mishnah. And that's really where the easy part ended today. Okay. Gemara says like this. B'maya skinan. What are we talking about when we said Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov, that this egg was laid on Yom Tov? What are we talking about? Where's it coming from? If the chicken is there and it was a chicken set aside to be eaten in the first place, and therefore look at Rashi, it's not a mukta chicken. The assumption over here is, and this is an assumption, right? You aren't allowed to make assumptions, but the assumption over here is that the chicken and the egg are the same. If the chicken is a mukta chicken, then the egg that comes with it will be a mukta egg. And if the chicken wasn't a muktzah chicken, it was set aside to be eaten, then the egg is also not muktzah. So the Gemara says,
It's alive, the chicken.
I haven't heard of dead chickens laying eggs, but I don't know. Eh? In America, do dead chickens lay eggs, Ira? No. Okay. No, the chicken's alive. Absolutely, Ira's right. Talking about a chicken there that's alive. We're not talking about a chicken. I was being a bit sarcastic. I was joking, but we'll see. And Ira's already read this Masechta three times, so that's why I'm asking the question. We're not discussing here a chicken that you've opened up and found an egg inside. We're talking about a chicken that laid an egg, right? My time, why did he say asur? Right? In other words, what's the problem? This is food that's already been set aside. This is what's the problem? Why is he got a problem over here? This is food. We've set aside the stuff, right? And therefore, it's basically ready to be eaten, right? If you take a shechted animal, you put the elim aside, cut a piece of meat aside, no problem whatsoever. Back to look at Rashi, uchlivra, uchel shenifrad, v'chaver benachon, v'chibur uchlin, command the mifarte edamu, v'chem b'shitat chulin. So I don't understand. It's basically like another piece of the chicken, and the chicken's there to be eaten, and therefore we can eat the egg. Right? So what we must be speaking about what? About a chicken whose purpose is not to be eaten, but legal baiting. Therefore, this chicken itself was a mukta chicken. You couldn't eat this chicken. And the Gemara says, and the assumption over here is that if the chicken was mukta, the egg's also mukta. So now we understand why Beit Hillel says, asur, lo tachel. Now the Gemara asks about Beit Shammai. So, numaitam Beit Shammai. How can Beit Shammai say, eat the egg? We just said a second ago, it's a chicken, legal baiting. So therefore, mukti. It's mukta. So the Gemara now says, like, it's umay kushya. What's already happening? What's our difficulty with this, that this egg is mukta? Deal me bet shama like that mukta. Maybe bet shama is hold a mukta. Remember, I said in the introduction to the shiur, we saw this machlokin in Shabbos as well, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. We'll come to it in a moment. That Rabbi Shimon late le mukta, Rabbi Yehuda late le mukta, but bet shama doesn't hold a mukta, and therefore there's no such thing as mukta for bet shama. And you're going to tell me now that according to Rabbi Hillel, maybe the egg chicken is mukta. Rabbi Hillel says there's no mukta. Bet shama says there's no mukta, then the egg's not mukta either. The chicken's not mukta, egg's not mukta. And the Gemara says, Kesal Kedatach, what's the Haba Amina? Kesal Kedatin, what do we think at the moment? And look at Rashi, he adds in, fills it in nicely. Lachi Parchinan, my television, this is the underlying question here on Beit Shammai. What is Beit Shammai's reason? Why does Beit Shammai say that it's Mutar? He says, what's Beit Shammai's reason? The Kesal Kedatin, we think at the moment, the Afil Rabbi Shimon, the Sharev Mukta, even Rabbi Shimon who says that there isn't Mukta, that Mukta is Mutar, even Rabbi Shimon would say Mukta is Mutar, however, Benolad Asir. But something which was created on Yom Tov, even he would say that's going too far. Mukta, maybe it was there before Yom Tov, you knew it was there. Maybe you didn't intend to eat it, right? And it was there for Negad or Beitzim, but it still existed. But Nolad is out of the question. It's really a separate category. It's far more complicated. Even Rabbi Shimon, who says Mukta is okay, he would say that Nolad is Asur. The Ilu be Mukta Svirilei. Because if you're going to say it's Mukta, Los Svirilei, Inish Mukta, Inish Midate, Midide Chazilei. Because the things that you know that are there, that you see, Rabbi Shimon will tell you, everything's included in your mind. Therefore, this thing is Mukta if you could see it. Aval Nolad. But something which was born today, created today, Lo Vayari, he didn't even know about it, didn't have a date alevite to even think about it. So therefore, the understanding is that even Beit Shammai, who might be like Rabbi Shimon, we'll see in a moment, he would say, Mukta might be okay, but knowledge is out of the question. So Rabbi Shimon, that's our question over here. So how can Beit Shammai say that it is okay? So the Gemara says Mukta, maybe he hasn't got Mukta, but if he hasn't got Mukta, surely he's got knowledge. I feel the mind showing Mukta, the Lord asked him back in the Gemara. So therefore, my Tamar Beit Shammai. So what is Beit Shammai's reason? How does Beit Shammai say? Mutar. Question, everybody clear? So now it comes along where it says like this. So now, how can Beit Shammai say Mutar? Because surely Nolad would be Asu. So Rav Nachman, לעולם בתרגול אמר לגל הביצים. Really, we write, it's not a chicken לאכילה, chicken לגל הביצים, and therefore the Isis מוקצה. However, הוא דעית להם מוקצה, אית להם נולד. ודעית להם מוקצה, דעית להם נולד. And, but the assumption, right, that, and בית שמי, assumption that בית שמי might hold of נולד, even though it's not a מוקצה, doesn't go. Mukta and Nolad seem to be a package deal. So therefore, those who hold of Mukta, hold of Nolad. Those who don't hold of Mukta, don't hold of Nolad. Right? And Beit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon. We hear that, Rabbi Yehuda. And Beit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no Mukta. Therefore, no Mukta, no Nolad either. So it's quite simple. Beit Hillel will tell you that it's a chicken, Lagado Beitim, and therefore it's Mukta. And just like the chicken is Mukta, so too Nolad is Asim. And Beit Shammai will hold, in a moment, we'll see like Rabbi Shimon. And he'll say, there's no Mukta. If there's no mukta, there's no nolad either. That's the understanding of the Gemara at the moment. Okay, so up until now, everything is pretty straightforward. We have two possibilities. Is the chicken the gadol beitzim or the chicken lachil? If it was lachil, it would be okay. But then why did Beit Shammai say asur? Therefore, we said it must be the gadol beitzim. And Rav Nachman agrees as well, it's the gadol beitzim. And he now comes and fine-tunes the machloket and says that nolad and mukta go together. Beit Shammai doesn't hold a mukta, and therefore it's not nolad either. So this chicken, even though it was nolad, and it came from a chicken which was mukta, there's no mukta, no nolad, all mutta. So now the Gemara's got a problem. Because is that a fact? Did Rav Nachman really say that? Umi Amar Rav Nachman Achi? Did Rav Nachman say that? Look at Rashi over here. Rav Nachman Achi, the Beit Hillel Rabbi Yehuda. Did Rav Nachman say that Beit Shammai is like Rabbi Shimon, which says there's no mukta, and therefore there's no nolad. And Beit Hillel is holding like Rabbi Yehuda, who says there is mukta and there is nolad, which works out nicely in this machloket. But did he really say that? V'hatnan, we got a Mishnah, Beit Shammai Omrim, this is a Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, right, and Shabbos Taf Mem Hei. Beit Shammai says like this, Magbi'in Malashulchan Atzamot V'Klipin. Remember we spoke on Shabbos, that these atzamot, the bones, when you finished eating, so the bones and the peels of the nuts, etc., are all mukta. Remember? They're mukta. So how do we clean the table? So we quote the Mishnah, Magbi'i Beit Shammai says, Magbi'i Merashulchan, that's what we clip in. He's making over here. Look at Rashi. Magbi'i Meshabbat Merashulchan atzamot, she'enan ru'uyin la'achila. There aren't any more ra'u la'achila, which means that they're mukta. Ve'klipei egozim, right, v'klipei egozim, v'lo chai shina l'mukta. Beit Shammai said, there, pick up, and we aren't worried about mukta. U'Beit Hillel omrim, m'saleket atabla kula, u'menara. And Beit Hillel says, no, you can, look at Rashi, ein metaltelin otan b'yadayim, you can't pick up the actual bones themselves, or these nut skins, etc. Why? She mukta hein, because they're mukta. So what do? Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that when we learned this Masechta in Shabbos, I explained Tavla as a tablecloth. But I think I was wrong. It's not really a tablecloth. It seems over here this Tavla is like a board on top of the table where they would cut the bread or the cases and like all the crumbs would fall into. You know, you get these like fancy challah boards some people have got that they've got like slices in them. You can cut the bread and the crumbs fall in. So it seems like a Tavla is like actually like a kli which was on top of the table. Okay, because Rashi says over here, Beit Hillel omrim, ein metaltelin otan b'yadayim k'zeh mukta, ela mesalek t'tavla, sheyesh torat kli aleha u'menara. You actually pick this whole thing up and shake it off. So you can't touch the crumbs themselves, the clipping of that samot. You can pick up this like receptacle there. What, Ira?
They used to have small tables for each person.
No, that's a tacha. That's salik tacha. We're not talking about a tacha now. We're talking about a tavla. This is on the table. This is on the table. You're right. That's small. But on the table, they had like these little things which would be like a trap. Like which all like all their rubbish would fall into. Right? So he says, right? So we see Abiyah Machloket. So again over there, Beit Shammai seems to be Beit Shammai says you can just pick up the bones. But he says you can't. Right? Amar Rav Nachman. And look now, we said yeah that Rav Nachman in our Gemara said the second guy Rachman Olamitalagorabitza, and whoever's got mukta has got nolad. And Beit Shammai is like Rabbi Shua, he does like Rabbi Yehuda. Remember that? That's what Rabbi Nachman said. Now he's looking Shabbos. What are Vam Rav Nachman? Anu ein lanu ela Beit Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda u'Beit Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Here, other way around. In Shabbos, Rav Nachman told us that Rabbi Yehuda, that Bei Hillel goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's itle muktzeh, he's got muktzeh, he's the machmir one. And yeah, Bei Hillel being more machmir than Shabbos, he's telling you, you can't touch the bones, you can't pick up the peels. You've got to just take this kli and throw them off, you can't touch them. And that's the same Rav Nachman. So how can you tell me that Rav Nachman is telling us over here that Bei Hillel and Beit Shammai are like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, when in Masechet Shabbos, the exact other way around? And now we've got a problem, because our sugya works out very nicely. We can explain the Mishnah beautifully according to Rav Nachman. But we've got a stereo between the two Rav Nachmans. Everybody happy with me up until now? Not with me, but you happy with the way I've explained the Gemara? I don't know if I'm happy with me, but until, okay? Okay, so that's all the right. So that's Ela Beit Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda. So look at Rashi over here. Anu ein lanu b'shitat Mishnah zo. Lefi shemuchlefet shita. And a kach shamati rabotainu, says Rashi. The Beit Shammai, he's talking about Rav Nachman over here. The Beit Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda. U'machmire. Ube Hillel, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so Amalecha, Rav Nachman. So now we're going to kashi at Rav Nachman. What's going on over here? Rav Nachman says, no. Gabe Shabbat, when it comes to Shabbos. Okay, so now we're going to see over here quite an amazing answer, a technical answer, right? This is a Gabe Shabbat, the Satam Lantana, Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Shabbos, Satam Lantana, who's Satam Lantana? Right, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he chose who the Stam Tana of the Mishnah is, we have a rule, we say Stam Tana Rabbi Meir. But we've also learned enough Masechtas together to know that not all the Mishnahs are Stam Tana Rabbi Meir. There are certain cases where the Tana of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir. And we ask tons of times in the Gemara, Man Tani. Right, who's the Tana of the Mishnah? So in Masechet Shabbos, as a rule, the default is Rabbi Shimon. That's his over here. The Satam Lanatana Rabbi Shimon. Titznan. How do we know? We've got a Mishnah. Quite a Mishnah over here from Masechet Shabbos. Right? Mechatchin et adluin lifnei abahema. So you can take the dluin of Rashi over here, a pumpkin, which is talush lifnei abahema, which is already picked and cut it in front of the animal. Velo amrinan tircha de lav torichu. We don't say that's tircha. Right, take the cutting up the meat. That's not, maybe there's too much tirch on Shabbos and you should be able to do it. Right? The etanavailiv now coming, you can chop it also if you've got a dead animal there and you're going to feed it to the dogs, so it's not mukta, so you can chop it up. Look at Rashi. The etanavailiv now behem. Even though it became a nevail on Shabbos, the venashmashot loyata or merit lachilat klavim, before Shabbos, eberashmashot, it wasn't great, it was a live animal. And you weren't going to feed it to your dogs. So it, in theory, it's mukta, right? Anything dikatze b'rashmashot, dikatze l'korayoma. If it wasn't on your mind, Erev Shabbos, b'rashmashot, it's mukta. We see over here that Beit Shammai, that the Mishnah, the Tana Kama allows you, the Tana of the Mishnah allows you, take this nevela. Afilu achishari, says Rashi, why delay lan mukta b'shabbat? That's Rabbi Shimon. We more make it with mukta. Hilchach magbin b'rashulchan, that's why it's over there. You, on the one hand, you can pick up from the table, the mari b'shabbat, so we don't have a stir between each other. The kaim elan says Rashi alacha kesta mishnah, that's the alocha. The kaim alacha kve hilal, and we got another rule, alocha kve hilal. That's when it comes to Shabbos, right? So it says mokim lan kve hilal krabi shimon. Now I'm just looking at Rashi here. Rashi sort of jumps the gun. But gabe yom tov, the ashkechen the star sarebi krabi yuda. When it comes to yontif, about look over the page. Aval gabe yom tov the satam lantanek Rabbi Yehuda, but on Yom Tov when it's the other way around, Rabbi Shimon is the stam tana for Shabbos, right? And therefore we see that the halacha is more makil on Shabbos, but when it comes to Yom Tov, the stam tana is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir. Rabbi Shimon leitle mukta. Rabbi Yehuda itle mukta. He's more machmir with mukta. So who's the stam tana in the Mishnah on Masechet Yom Tov in Beitza? Rabbi Yehuda, Titznan, we'll see here. And this over here is it's a Gemara in Mabeitz later on in Daf Lamed Aleph, but it also comes up in Shabbos. Ein mevakin etzim min hakorot. Right? So now, what are we talking about? Ein mevakin. We're talking about on Yontif, right? We're talking about on Yontif. Look at Rashi. Titznan, ein mevakin etzim beyom tov. You can't chop wood on Yontif. Min hakorot. Has durot zo al gav zo bekarka. So if you've got outside your house, you're about to start building now. The American style, or you build with wood. and you've got long beams running outside your house, and they were set aside Erev Shabbos for building purposes, and now you need fire on Yom Tov to go and make a fire to cook on, which is mutar on Yom Tov, you can't take those beams and cut them up because they were mukta. Right? Look here. Ain mevakin et min akorot velo min akorash enishbara b'yom tov. And so too, if there was a beam, look at Rashi, there was a beam over there, which yesterday was a nice big beam for building, but it broke on Yom Tov. Now it's pashut on Yom Tov, you're no longer going to use it tomorrow after Yom Tov for building purpose because it's broken. So the only thing you can do with this piece of wood is use it for firewood. Now you still can't use it. Why? Because it's like a nolad. Look at Rashi. Abishe omeret me'achshav hesek. Hoyil uben hashmashot lav lahachi kaima. Since ben hashmashot yesterday evening, it wasn't for this purpose. Kaima and it katzari ben hashmashot, it katzari kule yomer. The same cloud. It was out of your mind, you can't use it. Alme itla muktzav yomto. We see that the Tana of this Mishnah over here suddenly has got a stringent law of muktzav yomto. Hilchach moki Rav Nachman about it in the Arab yomto. Therefore, Rav Nachman is saying, "Oh yeah, this mitzvah, this, the Tanav Yad mitzvah is talking about Yom Tov." Uba hidal Rabbi Yehuda, uba omeret the gadi al beitzim, uba mishum muktzah. Therefore, Rav Nachman says, "Our Mishnah in Yom Tov in Masechet Beitzah, what's the case of our Mishnah? It's a chicken le gadi al beitzim, and now we've got muktzah. That's why Hidal says it. You can't eat them. If it was Shabbos." On the assumption that nolad, that you could have eaten the egg on Shabbos, you can't cook on Shabbos, but on the assumption that you could have eaten the egg on Shabbos, would have been mutar. Because on Shabbos we would have said, Stam Tanik Rabbi Shimon. But on Yom Tov, we're more machmir, and therefore, Stam Tanik Rabbi Yehuda. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, we're going to steer in the two Rav Nachmans. On Shabbos, Rav Nachman says, Stam Tanik Rabbi Shimon. And on Yom Tov is Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, we had the steer that we asked over here. We said over here, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachid. Rav Nachman said that we bought a Mishnah from Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on with regard to the table on Shabbos, and that was the other way around. We understand now why. On Shabbos, Tam Tanik Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Magbin could lift up from the table. Okay. Since we know that who was the person who decided which is the Stam Mishnah here and which is the Stam Mishnah there, Rebbe. So I don't understand what was going on in Rebbe's mind. My Stam is Shabbat, Stam and Rabbi Shimon, my Stam Yom, the Stam and Rabbi Yehuda. Why did he do this? Well, he's trying to confuse us. The Gemara is not difficult enough without Rebbe adding in all the confusions over here. Well, what's going on? So it's Amre. So Amre, I think Amre usually means like in the Beit Midrash, right? So Amre, why? What's the reason? We'll see this later on in the Masechta as well. Shabbat the Chamira. Shabbos, as a rule, people understand that Shabbos is an introduction to the Shir. If you're over on an Aveira on Shabbos, b'meizid yuchayev skila. If it's Beshogeg, it's correct. Yom Tov, at the most, is Malkot. So we can already see the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So by definition, Shabbos is more Chamur. People inherently understand the difference, and therefore they're more particular about Yom Shabbos, not to do things on Shabbos. So therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, we don't have to be machmir stam in the Mishnah, in Halacha, because people are by themselves take it more seriously. The Gemara says, Shabbos de Chamira, velo atel zilzulei ba, and people aren't mezalzeh, look at Rashi, zilzulei ba, ime kirin ba charekule, lo atila kule betvei. If they make it on one place, they're not going to be making it on everything. Yeah, guys, we might a little make it over here, they might, I don't know, do something. But therefore, Rebbe says, Stamlat Rabbi Shimon, on Shabbos, when we know that people are going to take Shabbos seriously, so we don't have to go all the way like Rabbi Yehuda. And the halachas can be based on Rabbi Shimon. Right? Right, who's making? However, Yom Tov, the Kail, Yom Tov is much more flimsy in people's minds. You know, and you see it, it's a fact that. Because, for example, a lot of things you're allowed to do lochel nefesh. So we've got this cloud, hutra lochel nefesh lekol yoma, or lekol damar. Mitoch shehutra leshabbat lochel nefesh hutra. We already start going over. So people aren't exactly sure where to draw the lines when it comes to what's mutar and what's not mutar on Yom Tov. Can you carry a siddur to shul? And if you carry a shul, can you also walk outside and go for a walk and I don't know, carry a bag on your back? I don't know. I'm thinking of all crazy, but where do you draw the line? Shabbos is clear. Hotza on Shabbos is Asur. So you don't carry anything out the house. On Yontif, is it for that reason? Is it for Yontif? Not for Yontif, etc. And therefore, Atlu Zezuleba. As a result of that, Satan Rikuda the Machmir. Okay, so that is basically why we've got the stereo between Rav Nachman's and why at first we thought that there was a stereo, now which isn't a stereo. We got from the very, very beginning of the introduction of every of the Masechta, a nice introduction into the mindset of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi of how he was preparing the Masechtas already. Shabbos is Shabbos, Yontif is Yontif. And to protect Yontif, we've got to prepare a basis for halochas which are more machmir, to stop guys from being mezalzel. Shabbos, which by definition is more chavur, people take it seriously, we can make place here for leniencies, and then to go away, and therefore the Stam Tanak Rabbi Shimon. All right. So now the Gemara is like this. B'mai or Kimta. Okay? So now bottom line is, what is the situation? We saw two opinions in the Gemara, right? We saw, oh, we started with something, B'mai askina. What are we to which egg, which chicken are we talking about over here? Talking about a chicken for Omeret Lachila? We're talking about a chicken, legadel beitzim. Rav Nachman said, we're talking about a chicken, legadel beitzim, which is here for growing eggs, for laying eggs. So the Gemara is not so excited about that. But my okimta, betar negolet, hamelet legadel beitzim, umishim mukta. Right? So, Gemara seems to say, are we talking about a chicken that's for egg purposes and it's mukta? And that's our problem? And that's why Hillel says that you can't use them? Because the eggs themselves are muktzah. So he said, wait a second. If that's the case, that the whole argument over here is around about a chicken that comes from an egg. Yeah, Daddy, you're confusing me. See what comes first, chicken or the egg, right? If the whole argument here is about the egg that comes from a chicken which is muktzah, then why are we arguing about the chicken? Then Adamiflega bebeitza, liflegube tanagolet. Rather argue about the chicken itself. And say a tanagolet on which legado beitzim is asur, because muktzah, and a tanagolet la'achila is muta, because therefore achila. Why are we talking about the egg? So Moses says, no. Why are we talking about the egg? Lord diacha kochan de Beit Shammai. To teach you the extent of Beit Shammai's leniencies over here. De benolad shari. We want to learn an extra din over here. The Beit Shammai says, not only is the chicken mutar, but even if the chicken is muta, is asur, nolad is muta. Even the chicken is a mukta chicken, right? Then what's born from the chicken, the egg is still mutar. And that's a huge chidush. That we could never have learned if we just talked about the chicken. We wouldn't know about the egg, we would have talked about the chicken. We would have made assumptions then those who say that the chicken is mutar, the chicken's mutar, but certainly an egg that comes out of it would be asur. And we draw the wrong conclusion on Beit Shammai. So therefore we argued about the egg. The word's not happy about this answer. Do you understand? V'lef legubetana golet. Lord yechakuchan debe hilel. Then rather use it on the contrary. Teach us about the egg and show us the koach of behilel, how machu behilel is. Debe mukta ashri. That behilel says that when it comes to a chicken, right, everything's ashri, even the chicken. Not only the egg, which is nolad, and we understand why the egg would be mutar, I mean, why the egg would be asur, because it was nolad, but even the chicken which was there, Erev Shabbos, is asur. If you want to teach us chidushim over here. So the Gemara says, now, v'chi taima, remember, v'chi taimas, I always like to say, v'chi taimas is not really the answer. Although I will tell you that I think that this v'chi taima over here is slightly, slightly different to our regular v'chi taimas. Because the Gemara says, like, v'chi taima, you might want to say, koach tehetaira adif. It's a fantastic cloud. Important to remember, this is something you all got to write down. Koach de heteira adi. We've seen it before plenty times, right? We saw the Masechet Brachot. That's where it started. The cause of Koach de heteira adif. And we'll see in a moment, there's a nice Rashi Tosfot over here, where this is one of the cases where Tosfot doesn't argue on Rashi at all. He quotes the Rashi. Just quotes the Rashi, right? Because Tosfot, don't forget, that Tosfot wasn't written like Rashi, like we have it today. The original Gemara, they had Rashi in the middle and Tosfot, Rashi on the inside and Tosfot on the outside. There were Gemaras. And Rashi here was written in a separate book. And Tosfot was in a separate book. So Tosfot, he wrote in his book, he brings a Rashi and he argues on the Rashi. But sometimes he brings a Rashi, just tell you the Rashi as well. I think this is one of the nice ones where he just brings the Rashi. Because the Gemara says, but maybe you want to tell me, Koach de Heteira Adif. You know what? We prefer learning about Heteirim, not about Isurim. So you want to learn about a Heterim. Now, why do we learn about Heterim? Look at Rashi over here. Why does he say, Bechita mekoach Heter Adif? Rashi says, Heter Adif lei. Tovlo, look at the Rashi. It's a great Rashi. It's in line with Agot Abach. Tovlo, lashmiyenu koach, divrei hamatir. Why do we prefer learning about the matir? Because the matir, shehu somech hashmuato. In order to be matir, you have to know. You have to understand. You can't just be matir if you're an Amaretz. To be matir, you have to know that it's allowed. Because if it's asher, you could go over on Isurim. Right, ve'eno yere lahatir, not scared. Aval koach ha'osrin. But a guy says asur. That's eno raya. That's not a proof. She'akol yechol yinachmir. Anybody can say no. Right, ve'afidu b'davra mutar. Even if it's mutar, it's the easiest thing in the world. The guy asks you a question: is it asur mutar? You don't need to say asur. Why? Because why take a chance and say mutar and you get yourself into a mess? So you say asur and shalom b'yisrael. You go home and you're fine. So to be matir, you have to have koach. And look at the Tosfot Aviyah, Vechita Mekoach Te'atib, Pirush HaKontras. He says, Lekach Koach Te'atib, Waz Koach Te'atib. Adif says Tosfot, Keshe Adam Matir, when a person says something's mutar, Somech al Shmurato, he has to rely on his knowledge, Vetzarich Lavi Rai Ledvarab. He has to bring proofs. You can't just say mutar, you've got to prove what's mutar. Aval Isura, Adam Yachol Lechmi Allah, but Otam, you can say no, without a reason. It's Asur. Why? No, it's Asur. Mutar, you got to bring the mukim, you got to justify yourself. So therefore, we prefer Heterim, because Heterim are stronger and more well founded in learning. So let's go back to our sugya. Like we were saying, why didn't we all learn about the chicken? And from the chicken, we could have proved either the koach of Beit Shammai, or we could have proved the koach of Beit Hillel. And Beit Hillel says asur, but there was man, we don't want to prove Beit Hillel because we want to actually prove koach the Heterim. So if that's the case, niflog betarvayu, then we could have said in the Mishnah both, tarnagolet haomedet legadel beitzim, he u beitzaita, beitzim ta'achel, beitzim u'milo ta'achel. The Mishnah could have said like that. The chicken and the egg, right, which is there legadel beitzim, and the reason of the chicken is legadel beitzim. Beit Shammai says, mutar, that's asur. We understood that Beit Shammai is saying asur, both the chicken and the egg. And Beit Hillel saying both the chicken and the egg are asur. Why didn't we then, if that was the case, we could have written that in the Mishnah. Right? Wait, someone told me, so the Gemara says, no. Ella, Amar Rabba. Rabba comes along now and says, no. We're speaking about a chicken, not like Rav Nachman said. We're not discussing a chicken now, which was Legadel Beitzim. Amar Rabba, Le'olam, Betarnagolet, Ha'omedet, La'achila. It's really a chicken which is there to be eaten. Now, if it's not there to be laying eggs, and it's there to be eaten, then what chicken are we speaking about? A chicken that's not muktzah, right? So the chicken isn't muktzah, then what's our problem? So we could say that, even according to Rav Nachman, we spoke in the previous Amud, we said the assumption was that those who say muktzah say nolad, and those who don't say muktzah don't say nolad. So now, according to this one, if it's a chicken, la'achila, then nobody says muktzah. So if nobody says muktzah, then there's no problem with nolad. You with me? Steve? Right? Roy? Right? So if there's no problem with nolad, then what's the problem with the chicken, with the egg? Why can't we use the egg? So comes along Rabbi, and I said this in the introduction, that Rabbi's got coined this phrase. It's a famous phrase of Hachana de Rabba. Right, preparation according to Rabba. So Rabba says, what's going on over here? So Rabba says, Le'olam betanagol tamed la'achila, uveyom tov shechaliot achar ha-shabbat haskinan. What's our Mishnah discussing? It's discussing a specific case of Yontif after Shabbos. In other words, Motzei Shabbos was Yontif, and now you on Sunday morning, and your chicken which you had set aside to shech today, you plan having it for lunch. Before you shechted it, it laid an egg. And now that egg, as I said in the introduction, the assumption in the understanding of the Gemara is that the egg that's laid today was already prepared yesterday in the chicken's body. Okay, and it comes out the day after. So look over here. Look at Rashi over here. And Rashi says that we had an interesting thing. Umishumachana, right? Who the Asherei Behilel? We'll see. It's because of that reason of Hachana. Ukesaba Rabba. And Rabba's of the opinion. Ko Beitza. Demityalda Idna. That lays an egg today. Miet Mo Gamrela. Was already prepared yesterday. Look at Rashi. Va'afagav Demiday Shamayim Hu. And even though you didn't prepare it, you didn't do anything. It's not Hachana Beyadayim. It doesn't matter. It's Asur. Look at Rashi. Kol Sudot Shabbat, Sudot Yom Tov. What's important when it comes to Sudot Shabbat and Yom Tov is Sheyehu Mezumanot Umuchanot Mibod Yom Shel Chol. That is the crux. That any Sudot for Shabbat, any Sudot for Yom Tov, has to have been prepared or at least ready Erev Yom Tov and Shabbat, which was a whole day. And that's our problem. This chicken egg was prepared on Shabbos. In other words, if it was, again, on the assumption that Nola was Mutar on Shabbos, according to this as an explanation, it's not this case. If the chicken had laid an egg on Shabbos morning, right? Let's take Yontif. If the chicken lays an egg on a regular Yontif day, according to this example, the egg would be okay. Because it was prepared Erev Yontif. And Rabbi says, therefore, this Mishnah here discussing a case of Yontif after Shabbos. When was the egg prepared? It was prepared yesterday on Shabbos. And we need preparation Erev Yontif and Shabbos, which is a whole day. Look back in the Gemara. Of course, we all need to be able to the Rabbi Letame. Right? What's Rabbi Letame? Rashi said, yeah, Rabbi Asar Bahachana She'ena B'yadayi Mamash. Rabbi, that says that things of Asur, which aren't really done by Adayim, even if it wasn't by Adayim, it's done by Shamayim. Dam Rabbi, my dichtiv ayabi yom ha-shishi v'echinu la-shehaviyu. We got a pasuk. The pasuk comes from Shmot. So we have ayabi yom ha-shishi. It was Friday. V'echinu la-shehaviyu with the God to the man. V'echinu la-shehaviyu. They brought what they had prepared. V'ayah mishneh al-asheh yukutu yom yom. Was that what they corrected every single day? But the ikar over here is v'echinu et-asheh yaviyu. Right, on Friday they prepared what they already had. So the preparation has to be for what you've already got in your hands. Look at Rashi Avi. Rashi says, Vechinu, Vehizminu, they're prepared. Kagon, Mikan Ani Ochelamacha. This Avi, which I can see, this stuff set aside, Erev Shabbos, Yontem, I'm eating for tomorrow, preparing for tomorrow. Dimishumachanabiyadaim, if it had to be only, if the issue was you can't prepare with you, it had to be prepared already by hand. Velomar Sheyafu, Vehivshulumi Bodyom. Right, then you have to have baked it, and you have to have cooked it yesterday. But be'edikativ tasher tafu afu. But you can bake. Ela hazmana bepek amar chutib yom hashishi v'stam shishi cholu. Stam shishi is not Shabbos or Yontif. V'achshav rachman l'sudat Shabbos. Definitely not Shabbos. Sheyazminen mibod yom ubechol has to be prepared and organized and ready erev Yontif, erev Shabbos, erev Yontif. That's our problem over here. Right, and he says, like this, Rabbi carries on. Chol mechina Shabbat, v'chol mechina Yom Tov. Right, you can prepare from Chol to Shabbos, from Chol to Yom Tov, v'ain Yom Tov mechina Shabbos. But you can't prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, v'ain Shabbat mechina Yom Tov. So according to Rabbi, it's an issur d'oraita. Right, from v'heviyu v'echinu sheyaviyu. Look at Rashi. He says over here, v'ain Yom Tov mechina Shabbat, v'Yom Tov nami karui Shabbat. Yom Tov also called Shabbos. So when the pasuk says Shabbos, also ubaya sudat hazmana. You have to have preparation for the sudat. V'azmanata b'chol, to be on a whole day. Aval sudat chol, but a regular weekday meal, lo chashiv, isn't important. V'lo shaykh b'azmana. You have to on a Monday have ready what you eat on Tuesday. It's only for Shabbos. We don't care if the preparation was done on a whole day or whatever for whole day. Ra'ilchach b'echad b'Shabbat ba'alma, on a normal Sunday. Look at Rabbi. Late London Mesar Beit Shenol Debe. Because the obvious question would be, wait a second. If you can't prepare from Shabbos to Yontif, so then how can you eat a chicken and an egg that's laid on a Sunday? It was prepared on Shabbos. So he says, no, it's not their preparation that was prepared on Shabbos. It's that on Shabbos, there's an Ikar Din that you have to have preparation Erev Shabbos. It's not that it was prepared on Shabbos and you call it on Yontif on the Sunday. Because on Shabbos it had to be prepared Erev Shabbos, on Yontif it had to be prepared Erev Yontif, which had to be a whole day. If it was prepared on Shabbos, you can't have it on Yontif. On Sunday, not a problem, because on Sunday, I haven't got a din in the Sunday, and I have to have something which was already ready for me yesterday. So the fact that it was prepared yesterday is irrelevant. We don't care about it. Okay, there's a question over here because obviously it was not on Shabbos. If it's prepared on Shabbos, what about Shabbos? Shabbos Yontif? But maybe it's only b'yadayim, not b'shamay. Right? The chicken egg was prepared on Shabbos for Sunday b'day shamayim, not b'day Adam. So that will change it a little bit. Okay, they make a little bit. Mishum the itchan b'day shamayim. Rashi says it. I'm carrying on here. Rashi actually says it. The itchan b'day shamayim. Any Rashi? The sudat chol lo itchuch rachman zimun b'od yom de lo shaych b'emukta. Okay. According to this, what Rabbi says that Rabbi's telling us over here, we're talking about a chicken that is la'achila, and the problem is that it's yontif tomorrow after Shabbos. If that's the case, says Abaya, yom tov ba'alma tishteri. Like we were saying, right? In principle, what comes out of that is that if the egg was laid on Yontif and it wasn't a Yontif after Shabbos, should be mutar. Because we've got Hasbana B'chol. And we all know, everybody knows, you ask anybody who's learned anything, based on Shenold of Yom Tov, Asur. So how can it be? Why is it not Asur? Why is it not mutar? Look at Rashi over here. Yom Tov Ba'al Mesheinach HaShabbos. Right, the regular day. Tishteri, make it mutar. The Gemara says, Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Achar Shabbos. It's a Gzeira. Why can't we have a chicken that's born, that's laid after Shabbos, on a regular day? Because Gzeira of a Yom Tov after Shabbos. If we start allowing eggs that are laid on a regular Yom Tov, you'll come to eat eggs that are laid on a Yom Tov after Shabbos. The Gemara says, that's Shabbos to Alma Tishteri. Then on the end of Shabbos as well. Why can't we have an egg that's laid on Shabbos? Right? Egle Shabbos. I don't know what you're going to do there. I'm not sure. But it's not. It shouldn't be muktzah then. Maybe you can, I don't know, you eat raw eggs. People do eat raw eggs. Right? When it says tishteri, what's that? Gzaira mishum Shabbat achar Yom Tov. Same idea. Why is it asur? Because of a gzaira, because the Shabbos off the Yom Tov. You have to have achana b'chol. When it says, me gazrinan, is that a fact? We make such a gzaira? Vaha tanya, I haven't got a brighter. The Gemara got a brighter over here from this masechta. We'll see it in a few days. Hashochet atanagolet, if you check the chicken, umatzaba, beitzim, gmurot, and you find in it, this is where Ira, this is Ira here. That's what I said, we're going to capture today with two different things, right? Umatzaba, beitzim, gmurot, you find in the chicken perfectly good eggs, mutarot, lochlan, beyomtov. You got to eat them. You check the chicken, you open up the chicken, and they're eggs. And what did we say? The eggs were already ready yesterday. They're perfectly good eggs. Take them. But wait a second. Didn't we say a second ago, the reason you can't have an egg on Yontif without a Yontif is Gzaira because of Shabbos. And you can't have egg on Shabbos because of Gzaira, Shabbos off the Yontif. So if we're making Gzairas here, then why do we make a Gzaira on this egg? That's what Gemara says. V'imita, if you're right. So ligzar mishum henech to mityaldi miyomayin. Then you should say that any egg that you find on Yontif is asur. Why? Because if it was late this morning, you wouldn't have been able to have it. Because of Gzaira, maybe Shabbos after Yontif, Yontif after Shabbos. Only Yontif after Shabbos, because Shabbos you wouldn't be shechting a chicken. Okay, right? So it was Amalei, Beitzim, what's the difference? Why aren't we Gozer here and we are Gozer in other places? Beitzim, Gemurot, B'maya Iman, Milta de lo Shechichihi. It's very uncommon to shech the chicken and find fully prepared eggs in their stomach. I'm not sure why that is the case. I don't know, if chickens are laying eggs every day and every egg in them was prepared yesterday, you shech the chicken in the morning, then every day you should find a chicken and an egg in the stomach. I don't know why it's not shicha, I don't know. And Chachamim didn't waste their time making zayras on things that aren't shachiach, right? In other words, it's shachiach that you have an egg being laid on a yontif, which kind of was prepared on Shabbos. Shachiach, you have an egg laid on Shabbos because it came from yesterday, because the chicken's laying eggs all the time. But that you check the chicken and you find an egg inside it, that's not shachiach, and therefore we aren't gozer, so it's not a kasher to begin with, end of Avi.